T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Foul. Ladies and gentlemen, one of the greatest basketball players that ever lived. It is an honor to have him on our show today, Julius Erving. How you doing, Julius? I'll get you right near that mic there. How you doing?
Doing great.
Well, thank you so much for doing it.
Glad to be here with you guys. Sorry to hear about Al Meltzer. You know, he did a lot of interviews with him over the years. He's a great guy.
He's a great
man. Who I could look eye to eye with, because he was a big man.
Yes.
Yep.
And I'm sure he will be sorely missed. So condolences to his family and to all of his followers.
Great, great broadcaster.
Yeah.
Let me start with this, Doc. First of all, we are here on a day in less than 2 hours is going to be illegal sports betting here. Did you ever think you'd see this day?
You know, I didn't think about it a whole lot. I mean, if you're involved in sports, you're always going to be considered a gambler, because sports is a gamble.
Yeah.
And it's always, you know, about trying to beat the other guy, trying to best the other, and trying to win. So sportsbook is about people coming in who want to win. I mean, nobody comes in intentionally tries to lose. So it's of interest to many. You know, one of the things that I recall when I was asked to come here and place the first bet,
yeah,
was the fact that when we were growing up, you know, we used to watch the Westerns, and there was always the saloon.
Oh, God, yeah.
And there was always the card game or the dice game.
Yeah.
And the piano, and then the upstairs or whatever. So, I mean, it's a part of our culture.
That's very cool.
Gaming is part of our culture.
I didn't relate to it that way, but that's very cool. Hey, Doc, I'm really curious. In your playing days, were you cognizant at all of the line or the fact that there was a lot of gambling going down, although it wasn't legal? Were you aware of any of that when you played?
Yeah, I think, you know, especially after college.
Yeah.
When you become a pro, there was always a line in the newspaper, and I wouldn't pay any attention to it, because I'm like, these guys don't know what's going to happen. So we're going to win by 2 points, or we're going to lose by 5 points,
right,
or whatever. But you know, I never got really wrapped up in it, but certainly I was keenly aware of it.
Do you think there'll be more scrutiny now? We're in sports radio. All we do is speculate, Doc.
Mm-hmm.
And we're going, you know, well, how did he miss that last shot and not cover?
Mm-hmm.
Won't there be more of it because it's now legal and there'll be a lot more betting than there was before?
Mm-hmm. I think there'll be a lot more betting.
Yeah.
And, you need the watchdogs out there.
Yeah.
Because, you know, the scandals back in the 50s and the 60s changed the course of sports history. I mean, when, you know, Connie Hawkins wasn't allowed to play professional basketball until he was 28. Roger Brown, you know, wasn't allowed until 28. The Kentucky teams and, you know, the those situations. I read about those situations, you know, because Connie wrote a book.
I remember
and,
that.
You know, others were reporting, and they were never really convicted of anything. You know, so they were accused. They were never convicted. And it changed their place in sports history. So I think there'll be more talk about those things.
Sure.
You know, more talk about the situations that did occur with, you know, players participating in organized sports in the off season. If it's against the rules, I mean, you just can't do it. But you got to know the rules.
Exactly.
So many people get hung up because they just don't know the rules. And knowing those rules is critical.
Doc, let's talk a little bit about the Sixers this year, because
okay. They
were a very good story.
Yeah.
They had a heck of a season, didn't they?
Yeah.
Better than you thought?
Well, who would expect them to win 16 games in a row at the end of the year in the first playoff game and, you know, make it a 17-game winning streak, which is one of the longest winning streaks all time for Sixers or Warriors in Philadelphia. And they just raised the bar and raised the expectation. It was so exciting to see that finish and understand, you know, that they were doing it the right way. They were playing team basketball. Ben Simmons was stellar. Joel missed a lot of the games, but once he came back, he just fell right in. And, you know, we all started thinking, well, this process thing is probably working out pretty good, you know.
I hated the four years. It's
looking good right now.
We hated it, but we certainly enjoyed it at the end.
I still kind of hate it, but I like the team we have. But I'm looking out. How close are they?
Well, you know, I mean, to finish third in the conference probably translates into being one of the top six teams in the league. And if you're in the top six, you're a contender for the title. So I think just tweaking it, you know, right now, and whether it's a Kawhi Leonard or LeBron James, it would be more than a tweak. But we would be expected to take the title if we were able to land one of those two guys. But even with the tweak, I think the Sixers should be viewed as a contender right now. The maturation of Ben Simmons and Joel Embiid as the leaders, and the supporting cast being who it is and how they play.
One of the things that we talk about a lot with possibly LeBron coming here is, and I think we would all love it, but can LeBron and Ben Simmons, does that mix together with them, two guys who like to have the ball in their hands?
Well, LeBron does control the game. And Ben, you know, that's his role. Mm-hmm. But, you know, he's a budding superstar. He's going to be around a long time after LeBron is done. And I think when you make a move to bring a Hall of Famer, a significant player to your team, I remember, you know, the last couple of years that I played in Philadelphia, you know, people were vying Utah Jazz specifically, and they were the San Diego Clippers at the time. They were vying to make deals with Philadelphia for me to come to those teams and do my last 2 years with them in order to develop the next guy. And the next guy, you know, was Karl Malone in Utah. And you see how he turned out.
Yeah, pretty good.
and with the Clippers, it was just to, you know, try and get some people in the stands
and
live in California. So,
Doc, it wouldn't have played. You being traded, it wouldn't have played.
Well, you know, there was a discussion in the front office, yeah, and I shut it down.
You did.
You know, I was conscious of coming into pro basketball sort of through the side door, leaving after my junior year of college, playing 5 years in the ABA. You know, I was never a rookie in the NBA. I was 26 years old when I got to the NBA. So after those 11 years, it was really important for me to leave through the front door on my own terms.
Absolutely.
And after year 16 as a pro, you know, big farewell tour and all that. You know, don't mock the Doc, as they say. Who says that? Who says
like that
anyway, right?
No one ever mocked the Doc. Are you joking? But I got to put you in the middle of this, Doc, because you're in the conversation.
Yeah, let's
yourself.
Go back to that.
But
yeah,
let's talk about LeBron, Michael Jordan. And I will not allow the discussion without including Wilt Chamberlain, because I saw the great Wilt Chamberlain.
Kidding?
Right?
Are you kidding?
Doc, you would know more about this than anybody because you're in the top 10 yourself.
Okay.
Who's the greatest player that ever played basketball?
I think in the NBA history and in basketball history, my vote goes to Kareem Abdul-Jabbar.
Why? I didn't even put him in there.
He never gets put in the conversation.
But he was amazing, too. Tell us about Kareem.
Kareem is probably responsible for probably anywhere from 6 to 12 players' careers being Hall of Fame worthy because he made the players around him better. And just his presence always got guys off to a great start. I mean, Magic Johnson got off to a great start because Kareem was the center. You know, he didn't do it by himself.
Right, right.
And you know, all-time. I mean, he's the all-time leading scorer in the history of the game, 38,000 points. By the way, when I retired, I was number three.
Wow.
Now I'm like number six. Or six, yeah.
Well,
but
different era.
Well, those guys, they still got to catch up. They got to get over 30,000. You know, that's a lot of scoring, right? But back to Kareem. You know, he made guys better. He was innovative in terms of the sky hook, for one, but did so much more than just sky hook the ball. Defensive presence, made people change shots all the time. Maybe wasn't the greatest shot blocker, but they changed the shots because of him. And in college, three national championships in his four-year college career.
It's amazing he's not in the conversation now.
Five titles, you know, one in Milwaukee.
And he played over 20 years, right?
And 22 seasons.
Wow.
And certainly knocked us out twice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, denied us twice until we swept him.
That was pretty cool.
We made up for it when we swept him. But he's the guy. And because, you know, he changed his religion, because he was kind of sultry, and, you know, he's so different now. You know, he's gregarious. He's out there. He's what, dancing like, with the stars.
Yeah. It wasn't like that then.
Can't dance. But he's out there. He's exposing himself. And he was always such a private intellectual.
Wow.
You know, but now with social media and you know, just life being what it is.
Sure.
He's a changed man, and he's fun to be around. And I always had a really special relationship with him, even though I always felt I was kind of in the shadow of his career until it broke out, you know.
You sure did.
From under the shadow. But he should be the first guy mentioned when they start talking about GOATs. And,
well, I'm glad you said that.
Yeah.
I want to ask you about winning a championship in this town, because you did it in 83. Mm-hmm. And we just saw it done with the Eagles. The Phillies did it in 08. What does it mean when you win a championship in Philadelphia, Doc?
Wow, I'll tell you, you know, it's one of the, it becomes like getting another birthmark. You know? Yeah, you know, when you're born and everybody finds, they look for your, you know, birthmark or whatever, you got that for life. That's not going to change. It's always going to be there. And that's what the championship is.
Yeah.
It's something that's always going to be there. It's going to be in the hearts and minds, you know, the followers, the fans, the media, even the naysayers. Or whatever, they can't deny.
Yep.
You know, this is something that was done. So it bonds us, and it bonds the players in a special way. I mean, we've had multiple reunions since 83.
Sure.
Mr. Katz gets in touch with everybody. Said, meet in Vegas, meet in New York, meet whatever. You know, we're going to get our team together again. So I think the teams and the cities, you know, who won multiple championships, or whatever, they have a confusing issue to deal with, who's coming, who's not coming, or whatever, and where everybody is, and whatever. But, you know, by us being singular in that regard in our era, or whatever, that's our moment. You know, that was our moment to shine. And you know, so we're all connected at the hip because of that.
Rhea, how old were you?
I was 12.
12. And yeah. She's glowing right now, Doc. She's
I came and told him I was at his last game at the Mill. I knew.
She's glowing. Thinking about it. Doc, I only got one last question. It's such a great honor to have you here at Paul Goddard at the Racing Sportsbook right now. You're casting the first bet. You're making the first bet.
Okay.
What's the bet? Who you betting? Do we know who you're betting?
To win, we need somebody. Somebody to win something.
The Phillies are playing at 1:00.
Yeah.
Uh-oh. I didn't get it on the Phillies.
I think I'm gonna go a little more long term.
Go long term
with this so that, you know,
okay,
we can milk it. So we can milk it. I mean, you know, it can
get your money's worth.
It keep coming up, you know, just
right,
like that whole thing with
right,
with hockey, with Las Vegas and the Capitals, right, and, you know, those who walked in that room.
Yep.
It was like 500-1 for the Vegas franchise to win the championship.
Right.
So there's a lot of people who took that bet, and then they got close.
Vegas was very happy.
But there's something about that ticket. Yep. You know, there's a nostalgia to that ticket, owning that ticket. And it might even have a redeeming value at some place, at some point in time, even though they didn't win it.
That is a great way to look at it. Doc, I hope you know how honored we feel and how all these years later you're as huge an icon in the city of Philadelphia as you ever were.
Yeah,
and
I appreciate that.
And you
that
have brought so many people so much joy in our city. And thank you for doing this and being part of this today.
All right. My pleasure.
The great Julius Irving.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.